time for a host-to-host conversation about our Sounds of the Southeast, the shows from our public radio neighbors about the places we call home, heard weekends here on WUTC. Dave Higgs is the host of Bluegrass Breakdown, which comes to us from WPLN in Nashville, airing Sunday nights at 11 p.m. here on WUTC. He spoke to us from his home studio in Cullioca, Tennessee. Dave, thanks for joining us.
Hey, glad to be here.
And glad to have you on WUTC with Bluegrass Breakdown.
Well, you know, Chattanooga has been an important part in the history of bluegrass, and I'm just glad that you're allowing me to continue that down there in your neck of the woods.
Your relationship with bluegrass goes way back, an introduction to Flat and Scruggs.
My grandfather was a big bluegrass fan, and I had my first exposure to bluegrass sitting on his ottoman listening to the Flat and Scruggs show, and there was just something about it that I loved, and it resonated, and well, here I am.
When did radio come along? And then from there, to share bluegrass on the radio.
I was in my second year at Vanderbilt University, and my parents called me to the dinner table one evening and said, "We've got to have a serious chat." I said, okay, cringing for the worst. And they announced to me in no uncertain terms, I needed to participate in at least one extracurricular activity that they didn't feel like they were getting their money's worth. So I thought about it a little bit and I tried to think of the least taxing endeavor I could engage in. And I thought, I know, I'll start a bluegrass show. So that's what I did. That's how I got started. And I kind of got hooked, and here I am 45 years later.
The show that you started there was the first bluegrass show at that station on that campus.
That is correct. Still going strong. Moved to Colorado to finish law school, and I started a bluegrass show out there on KGNU in Boulder. And then I took over Pete Wernick's radio show in Denver on KCFR, which he called Bluegrass Breakdown. Pete, of course, is a well-known banjo player, known as Dr. Banjo, and a founding member of Hot Rise. And so I took that over from him and kept it going all these years.
And in keeping it going all these years, you are steeped in bluegrass. You were a staff writer for Bluegrass Now magazine. You had a column in Bluegrass Now magazine. You play. Tell us about what you play.
Guitar is my main instrument, but I also play a little banjo and mandolin. You can't get into this music without jumping headfirst into it and trying to learn everything you can about it. So I was in a group for a while with my wife at the time, and I kind of got the performance aspect of bluegrass a little bit out of my system. It's a hard life, and the pay's not good, but it's a wonderful thing to be able to do what you love, money or not.
Favorite performance that you were a part of?
Jonesboro, Tennessee. They had a big event on, I think it was Friday nights, where they'd close off all the streets around the courthouse and everybody would fill into the streets and you played on the steps of the courthouse. That was probably my favorite. It was just packed. It was a beautiful evening. We played well. And I thought, you know, I could die right now pretty happy.
What do you try to bring to Bluegrass Breakdown to make it unique? Week after week, there are so many bluegrass programs around, including and above all here in Tennessee.
Well, I try and let my somewhat bizarre, quirky, weird personality shine through. So I tend to be a little irreverent. My main goal is to entertain, but if I can educate and edify a little bit along the way, that's good. But I mainly just am myself, just try and have fun. I don't take myself too seriously. I take the music seriously, but I like having fun with it, kidding around, keep it light, keep it moving, and not talk incessantly. That's what I think I'm doing anyway. We'll see.
Well, I hear what you're saying. Just given a few of the recent shows that you have shared with us, one of them that comes to mind, actually, it was a two-part about hillbillies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a topic you could spend a year on, but you know, I just have ideas floating around on my head, and then I try and get every song I can about that particular topic and just have fun with it. And generally, you can sit down, and it's kind of like a puzzle. You have to map things out because of time constraints, but generally, I can find a narrative that I can fit the songs to and keep it moving, keep it flowing, and hopefully keep it interesting.
And another that comes to mind is the recent episode about jewels. How did you come up with that one?
Sometimes I just have ideas. I probably have 300 or 400 ideas written down. And jewels is a fun one because I had just enough songs for one show. If you chose a topic like cabins, you could have like literally a year's worth of shows on that subject. So sometimes I like to find a subject that I can encapsulate and present in one program. And I don't know how I came up with jewels, to be honest with you. Probably a song I heard and I thought, that would make a good topic.
How do you see the bluegrass scene today? You have been observing it for a long, long time.
It's very healthy, very vibrant. You have a lot of people that are keeping the tradition going. You have bands that are pushing the boundaries, and I think it is more widely accepted today than it ever has been. It's healthy. There's more participants, and I think bluegrass is never going to die. It's only going to get bigger and better, and it's, you know, a great time to be a bluegrass fan. And I remember back in the 70s or 60s even, I mean, it was really hard to find a bluegrass record. If a record came out in the bluegrass world, it was like cause for celebration, you know, lighting a bonfire and shooting off fireworks and whatnot, because it was just so rare. And now they come out daily. It's a great time. There's room for all of it. And there is all different facets of bluegrass being promulgated by various people.
And that includes room for experimentation. That includes room for the younger generations picking it up. That's always been a concern with bluegrass. Is it going to be passed down to the next generation?
Right. And there's been, you know, a lot of controversy about what is bluegrass. And I found that people generally fall into two camps. One camp is bluegrass is music that sounds like the stuff that Bill Monroe and Flatten Scruggs and the Stanley Brothers played in the 50s, and nothing else fits that mold. I happen to be of the second opinion, which is bluegrass is anything played with bluegrass instruments that even infinitesimally is comparable to the type of music that was played back in the 50s and 60s. So I have a much broader definition. But yeah, there's room for it all. And, you know, when you think about it, Bill Monroe was a huge rebel and an experimenter and completely broke the mold when he played in higher keys, sped things up, got new material. So basically, the experimenters of today are carrying on Bill's tradition. And to me, that's a big part of bluegrass, is just keep pushing the boundaries. If it's good music, it's good.
How have you been doing the show during this pandemic? How's that affected you?
I've always done the show from home, so it hasn't affected me at all. I basically record it here at the house, and then I send it to the station on DVD data discs, and my producer, Scott Smith, weaves his magic, and he goes from there. We go from there, yeah.
In all the bluegrass that you have heard and seen over the years, which artists, which groups, which songs do you just find yourself coming back to for whatever reason?
That's kind of like asking me, you know, what is my favorite child? I love them all, but to actually answer your question, I'm attracted to, in the early days, I love Flatten Scruggs, the Stanley Brothers, and Bill Monroe are probably my three faves from the early days. And as time has gone on, I've loved bands like Hot Rise and The Seldom Seen. I don't have any particular incredible favorite right now. And my favorite sound are the ones that are in the Dorian or the Mixolydian modes, like Pretty Polly or Doing My Time, and just really kind of the ancient tones, as we call them, where sometimes you just have one or two chords in the song and it just sounds really mountainy and old and sounds like something that a bunch of Anglo-Saxons would have stripped naked and danced around in the hills too. That's what I'm attracted to the most.
We got to end with a word picture, and you gave us a word picture.
Yeah.
If people want to keep up on the show beyond listening to it here on WUTC, where can they go online?
Bluegrassbreakdown.com. And They can also contact me with questions, whatnot, at bluegrass@wpln.org.
All right, Dave, thanks so much.
Ray, thank you. I appreciate all you've done, and I had no idea what you had been doing, and I'm very grateful. Anytime.
And now, a sampling of Dave Higgs from a recent Bluegrass Breakdown.
On this week's Bluegrass Breakdown, it's old as dirt, as pure as the driven snow, more rollicking than an outhouse fly, and a lot more fun than anything ought to be. We'll be taking a long overdue and much needed look at recent old-timey tinge releases from the likes of the Horsenecks, Kurt Sutphin, Brad Lefwich and Linda Higginbotham, David Bragger and Susan Platts, Adam Hurt and the Twin Creek String Band. I'm Dave Higgs, and it'll be raw, intense, real, unfiltered, pre-bluegrass, and exquisite. Coming up this old-time music, it's better than it sounds, edition of Bluegrass Breakdown. We'll begin our romp through old-time land with a duo from Oregon, Gabrielle McCrae and Barry Southern, the Horsenecks, singing the title to their Tiki Parlor recording, Started Out in Town.
But I roam around. It was not for work.
Lefwich and Linda Higginbotham whooping it up with David Bragger at home in the Tiki Parlor with the Arkansas Hollerin' Tune. Well, howdy friends and neighbors, Dave Higgs here, welcoming you to Bluegrass Breakdown, where we'll be departing a bit from our norm and giddily jumping into the thrilling sounds of new old-time music. Old-time and bluegrass are inexorably intertwined, but there are differences, not only in the way the instruments are played, but in the way the music impacts the listener. For me, old-time has always stimulated my more primitive, primeval, hunter-gatherer side in a way that I find thrilling. Here's a group that has always delivered the old-time thrills in spades. Formerly known as the Dry Hill Draggers, this is the Twin Creek String Band from southwestern Virginia, the epicenter of old-timey-dom, with Palette on Your Floor.
Listen to Dave Higgs and Bluegrass Breakdown weekends here on WUTC at 11 p.m. on Sunday nights.